The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Good morning, everyone. You are listening to Aaron, Elizabeth, and our sound engineer, Chandler.
Chandler's
back.
Good
morning, Chandler. We haven't seen you in a while.
I know. It's been a while. I know.
Yeah,
I'm back.
Nice.
He's been the night guy.
Yeah. Great to see you again.
So what's Nate doing? Sleeping in?
Probably. I would assume so.
Go, Nate.
Hey, so you know we got a two-hour show this morning, as always, and I think most of you know the drill. You go to readingteaparty.com, click on the radio link, and you can go to our media page that is created by Robert. And, you know, we give a big shout-out to Robert every week because I have to tell you, he probably puts in
a zillion hours.
Yeah, every week. He does all of our video page, our radio page. He videotapes all of our Monday night meetings. He just does an extraordinary job, so I just really want to say a big thank you to him. So if you do click on the radio link, that'll take you to the media page. Everything about our guest today, previous shows, future shows, everything about our sponsors.
You guys are going to love this part, too. He's got a thing on there. Have you seen that? The weekly notes.
Nice.
You can order a CD, actually. So if you have people who live outside the listening area and don't know how to listen online or want to listen in their car or something, you can order a CD right off that page there. And right above it, he has action alerts. Things that have come out during the week that are action alerts. And the top action alert, well, okay, it's a second action alert. My top action alert is Atlas Shrugged, the movie.
Yay!
Atlas Shrugged, the movie, is finally out. And we are doing a special showing at the Anderson Prime Cinemas at the Factory Outlet Stores this coming Thursday, May 5th. So on Cinco de Mayo, we'll be watching Atlas Shrugged at 6:40. We have a special showing arranged by Assemblyman Jim Nielsen and Senator Doug LaMalfa. You'll see also that ad is right on the front page of the website. So it's $5.50.
Includes popcorn,
yeah,
too.
Includes
now,
the
right
snacks.
There, you know that's a deal because your popcorn would have cost you $6.
Oh, yeah. So that's kind of snappy. And hold on, I'm going to look at the flyer because I just
So for those of you that are not familiar with Atlas Shrugged, it was written in the 1950s by Ayn Rand. And that's A-Y-N.
Ayn Rand, but it's Ayn Rand. She came from Russia.
She lived through the destruction of capitalism. So she writes this 800-page novel that will keep you on the edge of your seat, if you can imagine.
Get the hardback, and then you can tell people you read a 1,300-page book.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, it's a really big book.
Yeah, but you can't put it down. And it basically tells the story of the rise of socialism and the destruction of capitalism. And in the end, those who destroyed capitalism beg the producers to come back.
Yeah, it's our dream that the productive people, hence the term Atlas, like the guy with the world on his shoulders. What if the people who produce, what if the people who are holding the world on their shoulders, what if they just flat get sick of it? And as we listen to people clamoring for, we need to raise taxes in order to meet all these things, and we have all these programs that are inefficient and wasteful, and we haven't addressed any of that. We just want to throw more money at it. And the people that are working are going, struggling out here. So the first one-third of that book has been made into a film. It was a monumental effort. You got to figure this book was made in the it was written in 1957, and they've never made a movie about it because it was too hard. Nobody could figure out how to do it. Where do you stop it? How do you fit it? Who's going to play the characters? Because the characters are way larger than life. They're sort of like John Wayne, but bigger. They're kind of like John Wayne meets Ronald Reagan. Kind of,
and and almost everyone in the movie is someone that you wouldn't be familiar with, which is actually pretty good because, you know, if you get somebody that's been overpublicized, it would destroy the
movie.
Or they
have a character already, like they play, play a gangster or they play something, it would screw it up. So I already saw it. I saw it when it opened down in Sacramento, and it's fantastic. So I put on the announcement I sent out, I said, as far as age appropriate, really anybody who can understand the real basic things, it's because it's really do individual rights count, or is everything about the collective? Is it all about some nebulous what's better for everybody else, society? And are you to be subservient to that? So back in the 50s, she was asking those really huge questions and highlighting that. Well, you will notice every Tea Party rally, including the very first ones, if you look at Washington pictures of Washington, D.C. or any place else, you will always see signs in those crowds that say, "Who is John Galt?" Mm-hmm. That's the opening line of the book. And when I set up Reading Tea Party, when I put that website together in July of 2009, it was kind of like people were really going heavy with fake names on the web. And I thought, yeah, because it's not about a person. It just needs to be kind of generic. And I thought, well, who would be a good character, you know, to start a massive, you know, Tea Party website? And I was like, John Galt.
And the thing is that if you really want to see where we're headed, you need to watch this movie because it exactly depicts what's going on today. And I know that Hollywood put up a very big fight to keep this movie from being produced.
It was all privately done. I forget what motion picture company does
it's an independent
company. But it's an independent film company. Exactly.
That tells you right there, seriously.
And especially those folks that are ambivalent, you know, they're thinking, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I work for whatever and I'm doing okay. So it's like, those are the people you want to bring with you. Got a great deal.
Yeah. Cause they're in the book too.
Yeah. They're in the book too. And they won't be conflicted after that, but it's very well done. It's a great story. And what better way to see it than with a whole bunch of people who think like you? It'd be really awesome. So, hey, when we can get him on the phone, we're going to be talking to Eric Kristen today. We called the show The Construction of Big Labor.
And interestingly enough, he works with unions and non-unions in the construction industry.
But the way we met him, he showed up at a Charter City meeting and did public comment. He basically weighed in on public comment. And we were doing prevailing wage and something else. I forget what, but he used 3 minutes of speaking time from a prevailing wage and 3 minutes of speaking time from whatever our other thing was.
Smart guy.
Yeah. So he had 6 minutes there, and we all just sat there going, "Who is that masked man?"
And then of course I chased him out of the room because
Elizabeth and I were texting.
Go get him!
Who is that guy?
And it was funny because all of the union workers that were filling up one side of the council chambers. He said that he didn't think that they were his friends, and he thought he might leave early just in case.
It was pretty funny.
So I had to chase him literally out of the lobby to get his number.
You did a great job, though. I mean, people were heckling him, and he looked over and he's like, "Yeah, you guys always say that." I mean, just absolutely unflappable. So
we thought
we needed to know more. So unfortunately, we're having a little challenge getting him on the phone there. But maybe we should read a little of his. Little of his bio. Well, you guys will all be ready to roll. Let's see. The Coalition for Fair Employment in Construction. That's his organization. The website, you can check it out on ours if you don't have a pen handy, but it's opencomppca.com. The Coalition for Fair Employment in Construction. Unfortunately, here we go. Those are the principles that have guided the CFEC for over a decade. The best quality at the best price always. Now, doesn't that just make sense? That's like
common sense. It does. Yes, but common sense is the common denominator that seems to elude everybody.
Yeah, and I guess there's really no...
Maybe they took it out of their dictionary.
Maybe there's no ultimate standard. I want to believe there is. His bio that came to us says, unfortunately, those are not the ideals of many politicians and the political benefactors in big labor who continue to push schemes to end open and competitive bidding for construction projects in the project labor agreements. PLAs are kickback schemes that drive up the cost of construction, costing hardworking taxpayers millions of dollars. Oh, the phone's ringing. That's good. Dollars that could be spent for better schools, better roads, and better parks. PLAs discriminate against 85% of the construction industry and deny the vast majority of firms the opportunity to even bid on projects. Less bids mean higher costs to taxpayers. It's that simple.
Well,
So it's that simple, but we're going to talk about it for 2 hours.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Great dynamic guy.
Absolutely. So we are
coming up on our break.
Creeping up on our first break, and then we'll talk to
Eric.
Hey, and tomorrow, Chandler's navigating the phone and everything, he's multitasking over there. I got to tell people, tomorrow night, Reading Tea Party, 6 p.m.,
yes.
You're going to hear from Rabbi Nachum Schifrin, comes
yes.
up from L.A.
Oh,
he spends, I'm not going to say 100% of his time, but lots of his time speaking and educating on political Islam. He is an Orthodox rabbi who...
They call him the surfing rabbi.
I know, that's what's so fun about it.
He's quite the athlete, actually.
Yeah, and he was 10 years on the L.A. County lifeguard... What are they? L.A. County? Anyway, he was an L.A. County lifeguard.
Yeah.
Which I guess is pretty tough to be able to do, too.
I would think so.
But, yeah, he was in Dearborn, Michigan last week, and he speaks in England all the time and all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, it's going to be very interesting, very hot. Hot enough that we had a little trouble booking him in other venues here in the area. People, I don't know, I think a lot of people don't want to believe that Islam is as prevalent as it is, that it's not as invasive as it is, and they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to be politically incorrect and, you know, say anything bad. And so we're just going to do a lot of educating.
Mm-hmm.
But if you,
that's what we're about.
If you want to know more about political Islam from somebody who's a pro, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Oh, good. We're ready for our break. So we're going to thank our advertisers. We'll see you back in a couple of minutes. You're listening to We the People on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All-Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, antique weapons, you name it. Reduces friction, carbon buildup, prevents rust. The first true leap forward in the evolution of firearm care. All-Temp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 1-800-301-0046.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me.
Welcome back to We the People. That's a great song.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yep. Sometimes it's on the fighting side of us, too. Sometimes not. You know, usually Sunday morning, not on the fighting side.
Not so much. Not so much. We're ready to wrap it up.
By Monday night, we're back again.
Yeah. They need to have us on Monday mornings.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, the morning thing, I don't know. But you
yeah,
know,
that's not your thing.
When we pre-record in the afternoon, though, we always sound so sleepy. We always sound a little more vibrant in the morning.
We do.
Hey, and speaking of which, we pre-recorded next week.
Oh, you guys.
And you guys are going to totally love
oh,
it.
Oh, this show was amazing.
The lady's name is Rosa Corey. She is a forensic
commercial
appraiser.
Yeah, like she's appraised the Bay Bridge.
Yeah. And you know what? Darn it. We were on the phone with her for 2 hours. I forgot to ask her how much it was worth.
It didn't even occur to me to ask.
Well, when she said it, I was like, I wonder how much it's worth. And I was like, okay, that's distracting. Don't ask. But I was kind of curious. So she, her primary field of expertise is in things where they're going to take land for eminent domain. Which is pretty, you know, that's kind of a big deal, and it's becoming an even bigger deal.
Yeah.
So she spoke a lot about redevelopment, what denotes blight, how that's being utilized, and you guys are going to like it, how it relates to
Agenda 21.
Da, 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 da. So if you don't know what Agenda 21 is, you have a whole week to figure it out. Go to readingteaparty.com. And click on Issues, and on the Issues tab, you get a whole mm-hmm. big, wide education on that. You can also, I'm sure Robert will have the page for her up later on today, so look for Rosa Corey, and it's a K-O-I-R-E, actually. It's an odd spelling, but Rosa is fairly unique. And, okay, sneak preview. She is a lifelong Democrat.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
That's so much for the party,
and
party line.
It's a nice try, folks. We're not partisan.
Yeah, so much for the party line thing. So you know, I guess.
Well, and what I liked was that she said that when she talks about an issue, because she is a professional expert witness, spends a lot of time in court, everything she says she can back up with concrete facts because she has to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she made a really big point of saying that she's not one to speculate or, you know, draw assumptions or whatever. She's very detailed, but she's an incredibly good speaker. She's great to interview. It was super fun. Anyway, I think you guys are going to like it a lot. We hear a lot about redevelopment. The state went through this big thing where they were going to get rid of redevelopment agencies. There was a big push not to. And then kind of in the end, at the end of the day, it was sort of a bluff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean,
was.
They not only didn't get rid of redevelopment, but it turned out they weren't really super serious about doing it anyway.
Now, here's something kind of interesting. You know, they talk about low-income housing because that's supposed to be a portion of redevelopment. That's part of one of the reasons that they have the redevelopment agency. Your property taxes, which I know you love paying every December and every April. I know you love it. You know you do.
See, I love paying it if I know that it's going to something good. And
well,
I think
a lot of it,
do.
Yeah, a lot of it gets diverted to redevelopment funding. And then those low-income apartment houses, they don't have to pay property taxes.
Yeah, that's
how about that?
Super great. And the projects that go through that are done on bonds, but not the kind of bonds that you vote on. So,
yeah, a lot of those just kind of slide through with no input from you.
Right. But we've been doing that for so long that I think people really take that for granted. I had a kind of a big discussion that sort of got kind of heated. I mean, it's like, well, why are you criticizing our projects? And I said, well, I'm not criticizing the projects. I'm simply asking, what if there was no redevelopment? Not if your town didn't have it, but what if in general they got rid of redevelopment and then, you know, There, you had to go back to the old way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Would the projects that have been done with redevelopment have passed on bond measures anyway? And it's like, oh, well, everyone really liked the project once it was done. It's like, okay, that's great. But would they have passed?
Right, if they'd known.
It's kind of like, hey, if you build a really nice school in somebody's neighborhood and then all the kids get to go there and your kids get to walk instead of being driven and all that, then it's great. But that's not how it works. You have to pay for it first.
And if you ever think that redevelopment funds don't come from you, think again.
Oh, yeah.
Think again.
Well, it's not magic money that comes out of nowhere. And it's financed over a long period of time.
And your property taxes are supposed to cover the roads in your area, the basic infrastructure to keep your neighborhood safe and accessible. And if you notice that your roads aren't being taken care of and things are getting a little rocky out there, your property taxes, which are supposed to pay for that, are getting redirected in another area. But I'm sure that doesn't come as a big surprise.
Oh, it might. You don't know.
So you really do have to tune in on Mother's Day. I know you folks are going to be busy out there taking Mom out to brunch, but this show is going to be worth listening to.
But there's always the rest of the week.
Yeah, and you can grab it online, so it's definitely going to be worth it. Rosa is dynamic and incredibly informed.
Absolutely. What's happening with, oh, I got the first absolutely of the day in.
That one is for Bill.
I got the demerit there. I hate that. So.
We are still waiting for our guest to call in. I told you, Sunday mornings are tough sometimes.
This is the sound of waiting.
So if you're out there listening, this is a great time to give us a call. The call-in number is 530-605-4567. We'd love to hear what you think. Give us a call and we'll chat.
Okay, so we didn't give the people on the radio the phone number till just now, but we did give Eric the number, didn't we?
Yes, we certainly
did. Oh, okay, just checking. Elizabeth, under the bus. Ba-cha-cha. Okay, so back to the surfing rabbi, because I brought up his website while we were sitting here. I haven't read stuff about him for a bit, but seriously, if you Google surfing rabbi, which is pretty darn funny, and I grew up in a neighborhood with lots of rabbis actually, in the East, and you know, the long beard and, you know, the classic look of rabbis, you know, we don't have out here really on the West Coast that much. And so he's driving up today because he doesn't drive or do anything from Friday night at sundown till Saturday night mm-hmm. at sundown. So that was another bit of a little challenge there, how to get him here. And he's not very old. I don't really know how old he is, but all his pictures are fairly young.
I'm guessing.
He looks like he's in his 40s.
Yeah, yeah. He's got he's got a really nice long beard that adds a lot of character to his look. So, I mean, you don't see a lot of surfers with a long beard.
No. And he's really controversial. Like, the name of one of his books is Kill Your Teacher.
Yow.
And it's kind of like, what?
Tell us what you really think.
But, no, the book, he's teaching in the L.A. County schools. And he said that, really, one of the big things is a lot of the stuff that's happening in schools is dangerous for teachers.
Yeah.
And a lot of the kids do make attempts on their teacher. So it wasn't like, go do that. It was, that's being done. So,
yeah.
But it was still a pretty hot title. It's like, obviously, it doesn't shrink from controversy.
No, not at all. So we got Sally on line one. Hey, hi. Sally, good morning.
Good morning, Elizabeth and Aaron.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to remind everybody, excuse me, along on Thursday. Thursday is going to be a busy day, is the Shasta County Supervisorial Redistricting Committee meeting. Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, it will be at the registrar's office, and they will be looking at how to redraw the district lines for the census and the Board of Supervisors districts. And they are asking for public comment. So if you live in any of the supervisorial districts in Shasta County, they are looking for your input because you know your neighborhood better than they do, and they want to hear from you.
And, you know, Sally, you and I have been going to those meetings, and they really are a bit discouraged that they're not getting input from the public because they're going to redraw your lines, folks, and what they're trying to do is even out the playing field between all of the districts so that you've got a pretty close population base in each one of them because some of them are huge geographically and small in terms of population. So, you know, things could change for you a little bit. It affects your school districts, your water districts. I mean, it makes a big difference.
Well, besides the fact the Board of Supervisors moves a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of money
and
goes through there.
And they use a lot of the, like you were saying, the money that comes for the property taxes, the redevelopment funds.
Well, those go to the incorporated areas, but I mean, it actually, if there were no redevelopment agencies, the county would have more money. But
yeah, exactly.
They make a lot of decisions, a lot of zoning decisions, all sorts of stuff.
And they put a commission together, and those folks are working really hard beyond the meetings themselves to try to factor this all in, so they really want public input.
And that's Thursday morning at 10 o'clock at the registrar's office at the south end of the old south end of the Reading Mall.
Oh, yeah, the downtown mall.
Yeah.
Downtown mall.
Without the cover on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of
the mall with no lid.
It's almost, you know, it's that new, it's almost next door to Leatherby's, you know, that part of the downtown mall.
Exactly.
How long, Hey, Sally, for people that are kind of wondering, how long does that last?
A couple of hours. Last time we got done about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, it was only an hour.
But with more public comment, I think it will probably go an hour and a half.
Hmm. Okay. And who's up this year? We have District whatever on the west side.
District 2 would be up for re-election.
That's Leonard Modi.
And I think Mr. Hawes.
Glenn Hawes, yeah.
And that's what?
District 3.
District 3.
Yeah, that's the largest geographic area, but it has the smallest population.
Yes, and interestingly enough, it's District 2 that needs more population in it to make it more viable. And also, I think it's District 3. They both need more population in them, so they need to take some population out of some of the other districts to put into those other two districts.
So we're going to see some new folks from those districts, and it's time for people to weigh in.
Yeah.
So Thursday morning at
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Fabulous. And then you can go to Atlas Shrugged that night.
Yes.
Fantastic.
All right. Thank you, ladies.
Thanks, Sally.
Bye-bye.
See you tomorrow. Let's see. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Say thank you to our advertisers. You are listening to We the People on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on
something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, and antique weapons. It reduces friction, carbon buildup, and prevents rust. A true leap forward in the evolution of firearms care. AllTemp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 800-301-0046.
This morning, what did I say? A big black cloud hanging over me. I switched on the radio and nearly dropped dead. The news was so bad that I fell out of bed. There was a gas strike, oil strike, lorry strike, a bed strike. Gotta be a Superman to survive. Gas bills, rent bills, tax bills, phone bills. I'm such a rat.
Wow. That's fun.
Isn't it funny? Like, songs from a long time ago, you start listening to the words, and they've got...
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's got all this stuff on there that's going on again.
It's hilarious. You know, lyrics matter.
They do, and they just keep coming back. So, I don't know. Maybe it's the songs that are making history repeat. Do you think that's it?
I don't know. Well, you know, Chandler and I were talking earlier before you got here about Atlas Shrugged, and I told him that Hollywood was just doing everything in their power to keep this movie from coming out. And ever since I became aware, I really noticed the politics in movies, television shows, that type of thing. They're really subtle, but they are so there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. Although, I'm starting to see a little more conservatism.
Oh.
Yeah. Not a lot, but it's there.
I guess I haven't seen... Well, we saw Hannah, because when we went to see Atlas, we were there like 50 minutes early. So we just went in some other movie theater and watched another movie for like 50 minutes rather than, you know, sit in the...
Yeah.
We were down there in Sacramento, and it was in the afternoon. There was nobody in the whole place. So we went and watched part of that movie. And interesting, because we were going to see something that was kind of political.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's a story. It's political.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of watching it with that kind of eye, but...
No,
it was just your basic thriller kind of thing, which is okay.
Yeah. So we're still waiting for Eric Christian to call us.
Okay, hey, so folks, welcome back to We the People.
Yeah.
We've completely degenerated.
We just don't know what happens sometimes with these folks. So, you know, it's Sunday morning, they oversleep. They hit the snooze and went back to sleep. I mean, I was tempted. I hit my snooze twice, but I'm here.
It's sunny out. Come on. It's not like it's winter when it's dark and rainy and, you know, you just, yeah.
So remember, the call-in number is 530-605-4567. We do love to hear from you to find out what you're thinking. And we love show topics and suggestions for speakers as well. So,
oh, hark, the phone is ringing.
Yeah. Who could it be? Who? We're crossing our fingers here. Can you see it?
Radio stalling is so ugly. Or fun, actually. If I was at home, I'd be like...
Dorks.
Like, yeah. Let's see how long it takes them to go to just dead air. All right, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. So, I want to know what everybody thinks about gas prices out there.
This is Charles.
Hey, Charles. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, yes. Someone who was awake. Yay.
Well, something, you know, speaking of redistricting earlier, the deadlines for the public comments, for the written public comment are approaching.
Ooh, good point. That's on redistricting the whole state.
I think, as I recall, and I don't know the exact date in May, but I think the preliminary deadline may also be approaching for county written comments as well, although I'll have to double check that. But, you know, the point is, deadline for the preliminary written public comments are approaching.
Exactly. You know, that's a good point. I'm bringing up my email too, so I can spy on that, because I wanted to say like the 19th or something for statewide redistricting, and that's a big deal.
And there's a meeting coming up for that too, right? Aren't they coming back for their second round?
After they've got a preliminary map, aren't they going to?
Because we get another chance to speak in public.
They're going to put together a preliminary map first, and then we're going to have us comment on the map. I don't have the paperwork in front of me.
I know. I was thinking that too. That's what they had said, and they said they were. I remember the 10th, was it the 10th of May?
I thought it was the 9th.
Okay, well, we're going to be vague about that.
I thought that was a deadline.
But you can count on that being on the front page of our website if you go to ReadingTeaParty.com. In fact, I encourage you to check that website on a regular basis because we keep you updated on all of the public meetings. And, you know, that sort of takes me to another topic. I mean, going back to Rosa Corey.
Except we're going back to redistricting, so don't go anywhere, Charles.
I won't.
I'm looking for input here.
Just how critical these local public meetings are. Things aren't just nationwide, folks. They really start in your own backyard. And there is always a plan to start at the bottom level and work up. So
the largest tree starts out as a tiny seedling.
That's right. That's right.
Good one.
So really, yeah, great.
Grasshopper.
Great analogy. Grasshopper.
Good job, grasshopper. Let's see. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, there's something else coming up too.
What?
Tuesday morning.
Board of Supervisors.
The Sharon Haywood off-road vehicle. Business is up again.
Oh, you're kidding. This Tuesday?
Yeah, agenda item R8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it's an email.
Yeah, I got it, and I passed it on.
And I obviously didn't read it.
I sent it to Sally, who will spread the news. So, yeah, that's coming up. That's really important, folks. I mean, if you like to camp, you like to hike, you like to ride horses, take the Boy Scout troops out, fish, hunt. Well, you know, the reason that you live here in the first place, you need to speak up about the road closures.
Yeah, if you don't want the forests to be set aside for foreign drug cartels.
And catastrophic fires.
Oh, yeah, those two.
Yeah, yeah, you've only two choices, drug cartel or catastrophic fire.
Yeah. And
probably in that order. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't the forests belong to us and not the cartels?
Well, we pay for it, but
that doesn't mean anything.
Just because we pay for it doesn't always mean it's for us.
No. No.
Okay, we're swerving back to redistricting because I found the email. Letters need to be sent by May 19th. That's statewide redistricting.
Okay.
And people can send
I already sent mine.
People can send emails to Voters First Act, all spelled out, Voters First Act at crc.ca.gov. And we'll post that on the website. But that's where your public comment can go. So that's, you know, you're within a 20-day window. But the big deal on that, and Charles, you had written a really good comment because I mean, it was a big comment, but it was really good. Elizabeth hasn't read it yet. Why don't you tell people what you said before I have to paraphrase it?
Me?
Yeah. Me?
Well,
No, the other Charles online, too. Oh,
online, no, there's two of us now.
No, well, you know, we were going to fake another Charles online, too. But
oh, gee.
No, you.
Oh, I thought you were talking to Elizabeth.
No, I was talking to her before, but I'm over her now.
Okay.
I've moved on.
Yeah, the things we do when we wait for our guests to call in.
Hey, shut up. We were trying to pretend like we planned this. Okay, just kidding.
Yeah, this is all planned.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's going exactly according to script, too. But, yeah, well, one of the things that they wanted, that some people want to do is they want to unify the three northernmost regions in California and have just one district representing all three northernmost regions in the Assembly, one in the Senate and one in the Congress. And to do that, they, you know, just clip off the southernmost parts of each of the three regions to unify them into one big region.
So it'd wind up being like Del Norte, Humboldt, maybe Mendocino, then in the middle it would slurp in Siskiyou, Shasta, and Tehama, and then probably Modoc, Lassen, and Plumas a little bit. Is it Plumas that's next?
Mm.
It would be like the top part of the state.
Yeah.
And that's a mess for what reason? Give us the big answer.
Well, there are a couple things. First is, these three regions are three distinct communities of interest. For the first reason, I mean, Humboldt County especially is quite a bit different culturally from and politically from
you think?
Shasta County.
Really?
Oh, of course, absolutely.
Is that a Mars-Venus kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sort of, no, more like a U.S.-Russia sort of thing.
There you go.
Get back to Atlas.
Yeah, back to Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah, one. But, yeah, the, I mean, and the roads are, the roads are so wonderful going in between, you know, this region and that.
Yeah, if you want to travel,
I mean,
the state,
so
east-west is
passable in the wintertime. Can't you just,
yeah.
I mean, don't, can't you just,
that makes
see
so
all
much sense.
People?
Yeah.
There's common sense out the window again.
Well, besides that, we take three representatives. You have three assembly districts, three congressional, three Senate, and turn them all into one. So we give up two, you know, we give up two-thirds of our representation in the northern part of the state.
And those other two are, you know, where do they go? L.A. and San Francisco, more than likely.
I don't know. We'd have to, I mean, it just would, it would change a lot of stuff. But
you know, I mean, it, there are some people who say that unification will give us better representation. There were, but that's ridiculous.
No.
Because we would lose effectively lose two-thirds of our representation in Sacramento at a time when we need all the representation we can get.
Absolutely. And then if they did that, and, you know, I mean, every now and then you get somebody who's not really super gung-ho, you know, good grief, they'd be covering that entire area. But coastal stuff, you've got a lot of issues over there.
Yeah.
You've got to be pretty smart about all that. And then all the things that affect,
it's a different,
you know,
world.
Our water and all those kinds of things. And then all the folks up in the high desert type of stuff up there in Modoc. And they're, those guys are really remote up there. And unfortunately, they're kind of in with the tail end of Sacramento. And I think sometimes the people in the far north get feel like they get forgotten. So stuff like the, mm-hmm. I like what you call it, unification.
Yeah, well, it, that's exactly what they want to do. They, you know, some people want to do. They want to unify the three regions into one. But what they don't seem to get is that because of the legal population and constitutional requirements for population,
yeah,
the, you know, the only way they're going to be able to do that is to is for this one unified region to be especially large geographically.
Yeah, and we all know how that's going to work out.
Effectively losing two-thirds of our representation.
Well, so that's a loser. All right, we have got to take a quick break here. Charles, you going to hang with us through the break?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because we didn't want to be just rude and just hang up on you there. So we're going to take a quick break. Thank our advertisers. You're listening to We the People at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is where we got to make a stand. The stewards of this land are mom and pop. The government couldn't run a soda shop. I said freedom.
If you have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. Well, I'll tell you what, when it rains, it pours. We got everybody now. We've got Eric Christian on the phone. I called Rabbi Schiffer, and he's on the other line. So, and I think we hung up on Charles. Poor Charles.
He's still on.
Oh, he's still on there? Oh, good. Put Charles on there and tell him. Hey, would you tell Rabbi Schiffer the phone number, please?
Oh, hi there.
Outside the room? It's chaos this morning. Welcome to chaos here at KCNR. Chandler's laughing. He's like, I haven't engineered your show for a while. Things have really slipped. Hey, so Charles, are you still in there?
Yeah.
All right. We're
check out this effect. I call in, and then the then these other two. It's like
okay, now,
some sort of, you know, something, you know, something mystical happens.
Yeah, you're like the Roto Rooter man.
In, huh?
Yeah, we'll call you Roto Rooter Charles. You you broke the clog.
Yep.
Hey, so that's awesome. Well, we can. All right. So redistricting, just to close the loop on that, the redistricting is happening statewide. Countywide, you better weigh in or you might wind up someplace kooky. And if you want a copy of Charles's email on redistricting, you can send us email at 1460 at readingteaparty.com, and I'll send you a copy of it because it's public record. So, Charles,
yeah.
Have a spectacular day, and continue to listen in for more
right.
fun and games.
Thanks, Charles.
Good on you.
Bye, bud. All right, we have Eric in the box on the other line, and I think Rabbi Schifrin's going to call us in a few minutes and do a little commercial
yes.
for his
yes.
show.
He is. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Eric, I hope you're happy.
did you hit your snooze button too many times?
I had my phone on mute. It's sitting right next to me, and it's ringing, and I'm not seeing it. And I look over finally and go, oh, my gosh, it's on mute. And so I was busy working on my computer and realized, I need to call these guys really quick. So I apologize. I'm down in San Diego with my children on a little vacation. My wife, who's an Air Force pilot, has been flying, so I took the kids down by myself, and they've worn me out.
Oh, yeah.
Not thinking too clearly right now.
So. Yeah. How old are your kids?
10, 7, and 2.
Ooh, yeah.
And you're tired?
Don't understand it.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
On the road with these guys, yeah, it's, and these aren't just your average kids. These guys are little crazy people.
Oh. So, Eric, before we go to our break, which is, we've got 10 minutes, why don't you fill our listeners in a little bit about what you do and how it ties into your website, the organization that you started? It's really interesting. Go for it.
Absolutely. We are the Coalition for Fair Employment and Construction. We fight project labor agreements, something that we are trying to get folks up in Reading to ban because they are something they try to get your city hall to be built with. They're union-only agreements that discriminate against the 85% of the workforce that's non-union. And we were formed 12 years ago to oppose those types of agreements. We think taxpayers deserve the best product at the best price and that they shouldn't be forced to pay higher wages and higher costs, not that wages are actually even the factor, the higher costs just because the unions want the project to be built union only. So we fight that. We view ourselves as supporting free markets and free minds. And, that's what we do.
And how long has your organization been around?
12 years.
Okay.
And when you came up here, how did you find out what was going on up here and what drove you up here?
We saw that you were looking to go to a charter city, and we encourage that because it gives you control over your own futures versus being in the hands of, the lunatics down in Sacramento and having those people govern your city and be responsible for how your city operates as a common law city. So we came up there and we spoke about, one of the things you should do are place a project labor agreement ban in your charter, should you move forward with the charter, and I went up and spoke in favor of that.
Yeah, I was on the commission, and it was funny. It's kind of like, the union guys were really kind of out in force that night. And
you kind of ran out of there, which means I had to run after you.
You dismissed them handily.
Well, I did have a two-hour drive to get back to Grass Valley, so and it was late, and
no, but it was just kind of funny. It was a bright spot in an otherwise, not another dire story.
Yeah, you were the star that night.
That was fun.
It was fun, and, the unions gave me the reaction I always anticipate, which always makes it even more enjoyable. And, they don't have a lot to say. They just kind of, food good, fire bad, union good, everyone else bad, and it's kind of sad and predictable. But they were their rude, usual selves, but I think I got my points across.
Oh, no, you did a great job, and that was the night they also had the signs that were so funny that said Charter City equals big government.
Because unions are historically opposed to big government.
Yeah, because they are big government.
I asked them, I'm like, I don't get it. Charter City equals big government. Wait a minute, don't you guys love big government?
You've lost the argument when the whole rhetoric you used for the last 60 years has been thrown out the window and nobody supports it anymore. Then you've got to make something else up. It's like, really? I mean, come on, guys.
Odd.
It's like Mikhail Gorbachev suddenly, realizing, as the whole rotten structure is about to collapse, we need to make some changes here. It's like, really? you think?
What a great idea. So,
So anyway, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Yeah, we can go there because, yeah, that, it is silly. I mean, I thought, well, those signs would be kind of cool. They could use them again. They could put a little line through the equal sign, and they could do Charter City doesn't equal big government. If you change your mind a lot of times with that.
No, but, they could, heck, with those signs, they could show up at a Tea Party event. I mean, geez Louise, guys, welcome to the party. Welcome to the pool. The water's warm. You know, come on in.
Yeah, they do, actually, because we had a couple measures on our ballot about pensions and some different things. They were advisory measures that the city council, some of the city council members wanted on the ballot. And, yeah, they were coming to our meetings there for a while. But you could always tell. Like, the folks that come to our meetings are really friendly, shake hands, smile a lot. And it was kind of like a lot of those guys, unfortunately.
Right.
They're just not real friendly. It's like, why?
And,
why
you know,
do
they
you have to get rid of that?
And they sit on the other side of the room, and they're all wearing black shirts. What
hey,
is
I'm,
that?
Hey, I'm always wearing a black shirt.
The collectivist mindset, you know, dictates not only how you think and how your economics runs, but also what type shirt you have to wear. You know, it's all kind of just the groupthink mentality. It's pretty sad. You know, I hold two union cards. I used to be a public school teacher, high school teacher, and I worked for the United Auto Workers during the summer to pay my way through college because my dad was in UAW, and they offered this program for kids whose dads were in the program who wanted to go on vacation, and their kids could take their place. So they got a good deal. They got somebody for half the price, and for us it was a good deal because it was more money than we'd make doing anything else. So I saw the mindset, and it was pathetic then, and it's destructive, you know, and evidently destructive then I saw, you know, which I thought, this is crazy. You have to work a certain time. You can't work past it. You can't work a certain, you know, speed. It was just ridiculous. And sure enough, you know, 20 years later, the whole UAW structure collapsed when it brought down General Motors and Chrysler. So it's a sad worldview, and it's one that's becoming destructive both for the union members as well as in the public sector, the taxpayers who have to fund this nonsense.
Well, they have regularly weighed in on the Charter City meetings and said that prevailing wage, if a Charter City comes in, it seems to be a foregone conclusion for them that prevailing wage is out the window, which, of course, as we all know, when you write your charter, all those things are up for grabs. But they assume that prevailing wage is out the window, and that's what they want to make the entire Charter City discussion about.
When, in fact, in many ways, the Charter City is about not being tied to a lot of state mandates.
Right. So
yeah, it's about being in control of your own future. It's not about prevailing wage. It's about union wage. Now, if the union sits down and negotiates with itself that each worker should be paid $2 billion an hour, well, that's great. None of your guys are ever going to get work, but you can sit back patting yourself on the back knowing you've given yourself a living wage. Now, when a city, however, and the taxpayers accordingly are forced to pay that quote-unquote prevailing wage, which is really a union wage in California, it's known as a modal rate, well, then it becomes serious business because then that, you know, $2 billion, of course I'm using hyperbole here, but that, let's say, $150 an hour, which is not hyperbole, it's what a plumber is making down in the city of San Francisco, when Reading is now having to pay that rate because that's viewed as the local rate, the prevailing wage, San Francisco rates. Suddenly that becomes problematic for a local taxpayer who's suddenly facing a project that's 50% greater than it would have been if it had been made with true prevailing wage rates, which is what the prevailing wage is in a given community where you get to do a survey and you find out what that prevailing wage is, meaning a median rate. You know, it may be 20, it may be $25 an hour, and you pay the person that accordingly. So you're not doing away with prevailing wage. You're doing away with a subjective union wage that the union's created that has no relationship to reality when it comes to what true area wages are or what somebody's worth. And, you know, so let's be clear about the terms here. This isn't about doing away with prevailing wage. It's about doing away with government-mandated union wages.
Hmm. Well, that's never come up before.
Well, I brought it up that night. I said,
but we were busy kind of watching the theater.
Yeah, we were watching the show, actually, that night. You know, the thing that I noticed, not to get completely off topic, was that there was someone in the audience at that charter meeting that night that was coaching all of those union workers.
Yeah,
and every time there was any kind of a break, he would run over, you know, get them in a little bit of a huddle, and then they all came out saying the same thing. And I think the thing that the audience found the most offensive wasn't so much their argument about a living wage, but the very sad stories.
22 of them, to be exact.
That they all told about difficulties that they've had and family members that have been sick and the mother that they had to care for and the child that has a disability. And you're talking, you know, you're preaching to the choir basically because everyone has a sad story in their life. So, you know, they kind of spun it so that they were the only ones that had ever faced any hardship.
Yeah, it was the solution to everything. So we need to know more about that. The difference between, we really do need to be clear when we come back about that prevailing wage and what it is and what it isn't. We need that. And the other thing we'd like to discuss when we come back off our break here is the whole idea of a more trained workforce. Their argument is that if you don't pay those union wages, that the workforce isn't as well trained. So we're going to take a quick, five-minute break here. Here's some news. Thank our advertisers and stuff. We'll be back with Eric Christian, and I believe Rabbi Shifrin's going to call in and give us a sneak preview on tomorrow night. You're listening to We the People at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
God and guns, keep us strong. That's what this country was founded on.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding. The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Visual. Can you just see somebody strumming that guitar? Hey, welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We are starting our second hour, and we've got a great lineup this morning. Eric Christian and Rabbi Shifrin, both knowledgeable and passionate about what they do.
And if all goes according to Hoyle, this hour you'll hear from both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
We decided that doing radio is, it's kind of like every Sunday morning we get the paddles thrown to us, you know? You never know when you're going to get...
Yeah. Get our heart started every now and then.
Yeah, get your heart started.
Just in case we thought we could take a break.
Thanks for playing along, though. We really appreciate you guys
do.
Out there
it's fun.
Playing along. So, let's see. We have Eric Christian, who is on the line, talking about the construction of big labor. That's kind of what we called it. He is the executive director of the CFEC, the Coalition for Fair Employment and Construction. And we will get to him in about like 5 seconds.
He's got three little kids with him. His wife is an Air Force pilot, as is my nephew, so I can relate to that. So the wife is in the air, and he's got all three kids.
And he's swiftly making breakfast for
his
kids.
So real life, folks, real life.
While he's doing that, we have Rabbi Shifrin on the phone, who's going to give us a sneak preview on what people who come to the Reading Tea Party tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at Bonneview Baptist are going to hear about.
Good morning. Who do we have on the line?
We have Rabbi Shifrin on the line. You'll have to say hello, though, because we can only just hear background sounds.
Good morning.
Hello.
I'm looking at Rabbi Zonke's.
Good morning.
Rabbi.
Hi. I know you're in your car. You're in your car on the road, aren't you?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Thanks so much for calling in.
No worries. That's my pleasure.
Okay. So give us a sneak preview of tomorrow night.
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, tell us what you got going for tomorrow night.
I'm sorry?
Give us a little sneak preview on what you're going to be talking about tomorrow night at the Reading Tea Party.
Absolutely. Would you like me to do that right now?
Sure, yes, that'd be great.
You're on the air.
All right. Are we on?
We are.
Fantastic. First of all, greetings to all American patriots up in Northern California. We need all hands on board. If we expect to survive as Americans, because the way things are going right now, we are behind the eight ball, and that's exactly what I'm going to be talking about, and particularly my recent trip to Dearbornistan, otherwise known as Dearborn, Michigan.
I'm like, what? Dearbornistan?
What country is that in?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's the United States of America. And we as Americans are, this is a very dark hour for us. And you know, it's really funny, Elizabeth, things look so great. Everybody's watching their TV and American Idol, and they're watching the NFL highlights and all that stuff, and everybody's ordering pizzas and having beer, and everything's great. In the meantime, stealth jihad is taking over our country day by day. And I will tell everybody Monday night in Reading at our Tea Party gathering the real truth about what went down 2 weeks ago in Dearborn, Michigan, where American freedom was thrown out the window in an effort to kowtow to radical Muslim terrorists 10,000 miles away who may or may not riot because of what we believe and what we think. And I think it's outrageous, and we have the entire American political and legal system behind them in an effort to silence us and create an atmosphere of political correctness in which no one dare criticize radical Islam. We can't say a thing about it, or they will riot and become violent. And this is what I'm going to talk about. This is the... We are at the zero hour here in America, and I believe that every American in Northern California needs to gather and stand up and be counted Monday night at the Tea Party meeting, Elizabeth.
Great. Well, we're looking forward to having you there.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you want to give out the address of the event?
Sure. 2570 South Bonneview at Bonneview Baptist Church, 6 p.m.
Beautiful, and I will be there. I'll be doing a book signing as well.
Oh, great.
I wrote a book which will detail exactly why Islamic jihad is taking over our country stealthily, bit by bit. And it all has to do, Elizabeth, with what's going on in our schools. As a 25-year veteran in LA City Schools, I've watched how political correctness has gone out of control and control the debate and the agenda and the curricula of our students to the point where no one knows why they're an American anymore. It's just that simple.
Well, sure. We are looking forward to it.
Yeah, we
travel
are.
Safe, and we will see you tomorrow night.
Drive careful. Thank you.
Okay, God bless y'all. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, so... Now we switch gears, kind of, but you know what? It's a freedom thing, too.
It's all freedom related.
So back to Eric. Are you there? Do you have us off mute? Sweet. So the construction of big labor. So, all right, before we get way late or run out of time here, I have two things I need you to clarify for all of us, really. We hear a lot here in our Charter City discussion about prevailing wage. But you said actually that's a misnomer of a term, or it's incorrect or whatever. Could you go through that again?
Sure. There's two different ways in the country that one determines prevailing wage. There is the true prevailing wage, which is, you know, let's say in a town like Reading, you do a survey of all the businesses. You find out what they pay their workers. Or if it's construction industry that you simply want the prevailing wage for to determine what you pay an electrician, you survey that region, that town's contractors, and find out what they pay. Then you come up with a median figure, and that's what the prevailing wage is. Now, that's known as the weighted average. That's what 48 other states use. California, in its infinite wisdom, uses what's known as a modal rate to determine its prevailing wage. That is nothing more than the union's collectively bargained rate. And without getting into the weeds too much on how that's determined, it's the union wage. That's what it is. And so what you're up in Reading doing is paying, you know, San Francisco wages because that's the largest urban area. That's the largest urban area next to you in which, you know, these collective bargaining agreements exist. And so you're paying, you know, a plumber $100 an hour to do something that a local contractor would probably more likely be paying $25 an hour, to which the unions say, well, why do you want to rob somebody of $75 an hour? To which I respond, which I responded to that night. You'll remember when the worker got up there and had been unemployed for 2 years, the union worker.
Right. I remember him.
About how great the unions were. And I've been unemployed for 2 years. And I said, sir, you price yourself out of the marketplace. is it better to be paid $25 an hour and be constantly employed, or be paid this hypothetical $100 an hour and never be employed? So it's really, you know, a question that these economically illiterate big labor bosses need to ask themselves. You know, are you guys just so set on the subjective wages that you've, you know, just created out of thin air? You know, I think my guys are worth whatever, $1 million an hour. You know, that's just what they think. There's no market for it to determine it. That's not what the market's determined. And so are they willing to just stick by their theories and what they think their guys are worth versus what they're actually worth? And so that's the difference between a modal rate to determine your prevailing wage and a weighted average, which determines a prevailing wage. We're one of only two states, New Jersey and ourselves, that use the modal rate, which is nothing more than the union rate versus a true weighted average. So that's, I know it's arcane and hard to sexy up, but I guess that's the best I can do.
No, that's actually really good. Because
didn't know that.
That is not what they've been talking about, which makes sense of some of the comments we've heard, because some of the people have said, well, you're paying Bay Area wages, and it's, I don't know, we all have been led to believe, I guess, without asking the right questions, that that prevailing wage is like a state-created thing. But really, it doesn't have to be.
There's a federal mandated prevailing wage, which I'd love to spend an hour on, because you talk about the racist nature of that, and I was surprised they actually brought it up at that event, talking about how it was two Republican congressmen who created the Bacon-Davis Act, Davis-Bacon Act, back in the 30s, and the reason they did that is because they wanted to keep black migrant workers out of the South who were coming up to New York and taking away all their jobs. They wanted to keep these blacks out from the construction industry, so they created this Davis-Bacon prevailing wage at the federal level, and then at the state level, they created what were known as Little Davis-Bacon Acts, and in California, the method they chose to determine what that prevailing wage is the modal rate, which I just described. So it's an interesting history. It's an interesting, it's one more economic distortion in a myriad of economic distortions that states like California face that have brought it to the fiscal brink. It just wouldn't be happening. These things wouldn't exist in a real free market, because the market would be what people are willing to be paid, and the owner, in a free exchange of goods, you know, the provider is offering their services. The person being provided the service is determining that that is something that is worth their $5, $10, $20, $100 an hour, and they are engaging in that free exchange of goods and services. Here you have the wage being determined by the government, which, you know, has always been an efficient determiner of things like wages and what's paid.
And we're seeing that in spades, aren't we?
And how books should be balanced. And, you know, it's a great, you know, it's a great entity to turn to.
We've got to take a really quick break, and we will be right back, and we'll learn more about that, because we're now deep into what we need to know about our Charter City thing. So put on your Charter City hats. We'll be right back. Listening to We the People at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Games people play now, every night and every day now, never meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean.
Well, that's apropos, don't you think? Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Heading up on the end of our second hour, we're with Eric Kristen. Hey, Eric, just wanted to tell you that, you know, it's spring break, and I had my 6, 8, and 10-year-old nieces with me a good part of the week, and I'm exhausted, so I totally understand.
He's doing some daddy time in San Diego.
It's always fun. It's just, you know, trips anymore, it's not a relaxing time. It's when you come back physically exhausted from it. But you had a good time.
Good.
That's what
it is. Hey, so, Eric,
let's talk a little bit about this claim that if you are a union employee, you are trained better and you are highly skilled, much more so than the private sector.
Well, they claim that if it's a prevailing wage job, you get more highly skilled labor, and that if it's not a prevailing wage job, which we now know is the wrong term, but this is what they say, that if it's a prevailing wage job, they can bid, they can cut a straight bid. But if it's not, they have to build in 25% owing for mistakes and things because of untrained labor.
Well, I suppose in their minds that reality exists. However, here on planet Earth, there is not one study that indicates that's the case. There's not one anecdotal piece. In fact, I can come up with a number of anecdotal pieces of evidence that show just the opposite. The Los Angeles Times just ran a six-part series on a $6 billion school bond construction project down in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Community College District, all done under a PLA, all done under, a union-only project labor agreement, in which you had, clock towers being built crooked, you had air conditioning units being installed up, upside down. When the LA Times runs a six-part series that results in the head of the construction department being fired, you really shouldn't be out there arguing about how, the union way is the best way. It's really not true. So besides there being no evidence for that, no empirical data that supports the union's position other than the union just believing that in their own minds, they're completely right other than that fact.
Well, we were kind of surprised, those of us on the panel who weren't experts in that sort of thing, because we asked finally, it's like, well, okay, so if these guys are so much better trained, exactly how does that work? What's the difference between, like, what if this union guy goes and works on a job that isn't prevailing wage? Do you send different guys? They're like, no, it's the same guys. Okay, if it's the same guys, then how come you think they're better trained? And then the whole thing kind of fell apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oops, there went that argument.
On the cliche or the talking point, it's like, oh, well, you're confusing me now, so.
Now, is this a comment? Do you weigh in a lot on the Charter City things? Is that
increasingly so? Because I really see them as an opportunity for cities and entities to begin taking their future into their own hands and getting out from under the rule of just this group of looters down in Sacramento under the Capitol Dome. It's just would you really want to be governed by a lunatic asylum? And I just ask people that question, and they increasingly say no. And then, of course, when they make that move to choose to govern themselves, we encourage them to place into that charter a project labor agreement ban. So it's been there's something in it for me, but of course, when I win and my group wins, everybody wins, because all workers are now allowed to work on projects. Taxpayers get the best product at the best price always, and there is no union favoritism anymore. So when the other side wins, workers, get the shaft, taxpayers are left holding the bag. And, when I win, everybody wins. So it's kind of an interesting point about, when I'm successful, what happens versus when the other side's successful, what happens.
Now, beyond the labor, just the labor issue, I mean, there are tons of things that a charter city does. And unfortunately,
right,
we've kind of done it again. We focus on this one thing, and that's
right.
So now we've sort of hit that part. What specifically, if you were to go through, like, we're at the part now where we're weighing whether or not it's a good idea to keep pursuing or not. Based on your experience, what would you say for all the folks that are going, I don't know, look at Bell, California. I'm so sick of hearing that.
Well, I would just, look at, Vallejo, California. Okay, that was a common law city that, went bankrupt. So, if you really want to compare, if you really want to insult the citizens of Reading to say that there is detached and uninformed and not following things as the city of Bell residents are, which apparently it just escaped notice to them that they're part-time city council members were making $500,000 a year. if that's where Reading is and you're so stupid you're unable to do that, then maybe you shouldn't go charter, assuming that you folks have some brains up there and common sense to follow things like that. That probably would never happen. So when people say that, oh, look at Bell, we don't want to be like them, I'd view that as an insult. Well, thank you, no, we aren't going to be like them. In fact, we'll put these into place, this, this, and this into place to make sure that never happens. But see, that's the beauty of it all. You get to determine what it is that you are going to, how you're going to be ruled. Now, 124 other cities have done this in the state. 25% of the cities in the state have done it. There's clearly something that's there that they deem as a as a benefit to doing this. And I think it's just something everybody should weigh.
As far as categories that kind of draw fire, the other one is the paid city council. Well, I guess it's kind of a two-parter. Paid city council and or strong mayor.
Strong mayor, right. You know, that's up to each individual entity. Just in my experiences, I've always found that a strong mayor is you know, something that's been more beneficial than not. But, you know, I don't really have a dog in that fight. That's for the individual entity to determine. Now, if you want to continue to have a mayor that has no real purpose, you know, like they do in most common law cities, then, you know, proceed forward, but or proceed on. But I just don't know why a city wouldn't want, you know, to have that position have some authority at some level. You know, when your entire citizenry is voting on this one person to be its quote-unquote leader, I think that person should be vested with some power. Now, of course, the reason the unions fight these charter cities is because they love having the city employ unions in charge of everything. Without a strong mayor and with a weak city council, you know, who runs everything? It's the lifelong bureaucrats, and it's the unions who, you know, are getting, in many cases, doing very well off the backs of the taxpayers. And, you know, that's just something that, and to know how well, I would encourage everybody out there to read Steve Greenhut's book, Plunder, which is a terrific book about how public employee unions have just, you know, led our state to bankruptcy. But that's why they fight this so vociferously, because they will now lose control, and instead of being the servants, instead of being the masters as they currently are, they'll be put back into their traditional role of being the servants.
Hmm. And for those people that are going, Stephen Greenhut, who? If you go to ReadingTeaParty.com, click on radio, and you bring up our list of prior programs, Stephen Greenhut has actually recorded a program, and we titled it Plunder, just like his book. So
that's great.
So you can actually just listen to it if you don't want to go out and get the book. But, yeah, he makes a compelling case for that as well.
It's just the nature of the beast, you know, which is when you have found your ability, when you've gotten into the position where you are able to dictate how much you're negotiating with yourself, in essence, at the bargaining table, the quote-unquote bargaining table. It's you and the people you've put into power. You're going to get a great deal, and human nature is going to be, it's going to be the best deal, you know, that you can get. Taxpayers are quite tertiary in all of that. They're second, third, fourth, fifth concern. The main concern is getting our people the most money to do the least amount of work, and, you know, we've seen how well that works, and that's not the way that employees, you know, Franklin Roosevelt said that there is no way you can expect to have a unionized public employee workforce. It would be terrible. Franklin Roosevelt said that. He understood what it meant. It's just not smart.
Yeah. And when did we start having a public employee unions here in California?
In California, it was with Jerry Brown.
Yeah. Thanks, Jerry.
Nationwide, it was Kennedy, President Kennedy signed an executive order allowing for federal employees to be unionized, and here at the local level it was the guy who's, you know, back in charge now, yippee-yi-yay.
Yeah. Jerry Brown 1.0 put it in, and Jerry Brown 2.0 can figure out now how to deal with the disaster
now,
he created.
It is somewhat cathartic. It is somewhat, you know, karma, you know, there is some karma there that he's now having to live with the consequences.
I mean, it came back and bit him in the butt?
Can you simpler terms?
Biting all of us in the butt.
Yeah, no.
Have you driven on the roads lately? I mean, good grief, yeah. It's like a third world country in this state anymore.
Yeah,
and
it's really sad.
And yet, it was brought to my attention that Caltrans.
Oh, yeah.
Wants a whole new auto fleet because they need to have green vehicles. And, of course, I'm a Weisenheimer. I'm like, well, go get old Forest Service trucks. But that's not what they were talking about, I guess.
Not that kind of green.
I guess you're talking about green. Stupid emissions again. Darn it. Wow. Well, I'd like to explore the strong mayor idea that you've seen in other places, because obviously we haven't been to as many other places on Charter City as you have. And this stuff is kind of coming down to the wire. We have two more meetings of that commission, and then we need to give a recommendation. So we'd like to hear any of your thoughts when we come back from this break and get a little more clarification. So you got 2 minutes to play with your kids, and we'll be right back here on We the People at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Never meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean.
Lies, tell me sweet little lies.
Welcome back to the Reading Tea Party. We're nothing
it's We the People.
Oh, what did I?
That's because Elizabeth's reading the Reading.com.
That's
blogs.
Because I'm reading the blogs during our breaks, and they were talking about us yet again. So we are so apropos in our music, don't you think?
They always have something to say about us on the Reading.com blogs.
Yeah. So anyway, it is We the People brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We are in our last half an hour, and we're talking to Eric Kristen, who is kind of an expert when it comes to all things union and prevailing wage and so forth. And, you know, before we get into the strong mayor issue, I think people have to realize that Bell California was kind of a unique situation in and of itself, just where it's situated. Good 50% of its workforce has to travel, has a long commute at both ends of each day to get into the city to go to work. So I think you just had
they're super unique for something besides that.
Well,
after all their mess.
Yeah.
No, they just voted again. They just had another vote here a few months ago, and they had like less than 30% turnout.
Yeah.
So
don't pay attention.
That's right. You get into those problems because you don't pay attention.
That's pretty much what it was.
Okay. So Eric Kristen, the executive director of the Coalition for Fair Employment and Construction, is back with us talking to us about charter cities and stuff. All right, Eric, you've had 2 minutes to coalesce on what everyone needs to know about charter cities. No pressure. It's all up to you.
What's great about it, and what I like to say, is it's just something that allows the local citizenry and the local elected officials to take their future into their own hands, and be it, you know, the desire for a strong mayor, or, you know, if you want to have a full-time city council or not, what you want to pay them, the laws you want to be governed by, like, do you want to have prevailing wage, do you want to have a true prevailing wage versus union wage, do you want to be able to ban things like project labor agreements so they're not considered on your projects. It's just really, I think, a win-win for everybody. And I think that, you know, with the quarter of the cities in the state having gone that way, including a number just recently, I think it's something that's just increasingly, you know, the way to go in California, which, again, would you rather be governed by your local citizenry, or would you rather be governed by, you know, the collective, you know, band of fools down in Sacramento, and or looters, as I like to refer to them, using a Randian term.
There are some nice ones. I mean, I know particularly of some nice ones who really do work hard, and I tell you what, they're outgunned in a major way.
There's some Republicans down there that assert that have, you know, signed the front of a paycheck as well as the back of a paycheck, and they get it. The problem is there's, you know, exactly three of them in the whole building. I'm being hyperbolic there, of course, but the reality is that they're outgunned, and the people that run that place, people should go down there. I encourage everybody once a year to go down and walk the halls and meet with your elected officials and make sure you visit both Democrats and Republicans, and you'll walk away both depressed as well as just motivated to take your own future into your own hands in whatever locale you live in, because, you know, my goodness, if you leave it to those people, you know, you're putting yourself at great risk. They just don't understand. You know, as bad as it's gotten in California, think about this, as bad as it's gotten since the recall of Gray Davis, it's actually gotten worse. As bad as it was to actually recall a sitting governor, it's actually gotten worse since then. I mean, what's changing? What's going to change? $25 billion deficits don't get you to actually address systemic changes to the system. All you can do is say, well, we need to increase taxes. Really? Is that really your answer?
And people are going for it. People are actually angry. I mean, they're calling in and saying, well, you know, these guys are preventing us from voting in more taxes. That's what we need to do. It's $90 million to do a special election, decide if we want to raise taxes or not. And yet, when those tax increase measures come on the ballot, we consistently vote them down.
Well,
statewide.
Let's say taxes are the answer. What are they asking us to do? They're asking us to extend the tax rates that have been put into place for a number of years now. But wait a minute. If we've had those tax rates in place, those tax increases in place, how in the world are we still in this situation economically? So clearly, that isn't the problem. The problem is we have a bunch of drunken Russian sailors. And, you know, in fact, I'm offending Russian sailors, drunken Russian sailors, by calling them that. We have a bunch of, you know, people who are like crack addicts and just simply cannot stop spending. You've got to take the decision-making process away from them and do it at the local level because these people are out of control. And, you know, to some degree, it is the people's fault. We've instituted a number of measures over the years that, for instance, mandates a certain percentage of money go to government schools, which, you know, again, who have a history of using money wisely and efficiently and doing such a great job of educating tomorrow's workforce.
Yeah, California's 49 out of 50 states, right?
Right, right. So we've done, you know, we have, you know, in fairness to some of the looters down there, we have tied their hands. But, you know, the point being, you know, to think they have the answers and that more tax money is one of those answers is just to ignore the reality of what's going on here. So.
Well, I keep thinking that really and truly people don't always vote based on knowing a great deal about the candidate. They go on, you know, that's why we still get robocalls. If robocalls didn't work, if 9 million mailers in the mailbox didn't work, they wouldn't do it anymore. It's expensive. So if getting out and meeting the people was really the most powerful tool, there would be more of that. But that's not always the case. So we keep voting in people who perpetuate this stuff. And yet, locally, we have the ability to take back some of that control. And people are totally balking at that. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's safer if we just leave, you know, general law in place.
Well, look, you know, all we can do, if we don't do anything, we know what's going to happen, which is the same old, same old. So we're left with doing, you know, we're left with the same question that the founders had. You know, which is we can continue on or we can institute change, which happened, you know, at first both locally and then went, you know, quote unquote national, you know, resulting in, you know, the July 3rd creation of, you know, the Declaration of Independence. The most important provision there within, which reads, you know, but when following a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same end, evinces a design to place them under absolute despotism. It is their right, it is their duty to draw such government and provide new safeguards for their future. That is the most important clause that's found in the Declaration of Independence. And what it means, as Nicolas Cage said in National Treasure, there was a great line where he read that standing in the National Archives Rotunda and reading it and with his little sidekick there, and he read that and he said, people don't talk like that anymore. And his sidekick says, that was beautiful. I have no idea what it means. And Nicolas Cage says, what it means is those that have the ability to fight that which is wrong have a duty to fight that which is wrong. And all we can do is, you know, we as the individual minority, Ayn Rand said the greatest minority in the world is the individual. And if you don't have respect for the individual, you don't have respect for the minority's rights. What she meant was, we as individuals, you know, that's the concept that America was founded upon, the individual. And if you wait for the collective or the group to do take care of that which you should be taking care of yourselves, then you'll never get anything done. So it starts with the individual, and then you come together as a group at a local level, and you work from there. You know, if you're always waiting for Santa Claus to deliver you from the tyranny that Sacramento has placed you under, then you're going to be waiting until your dying days. So what's the alternative? The alternative is to try and start at the local level and make change there and affect change there and then work your way up to the county, to, you know, the region, and to the state, and to the nation. And that's what you have to do. What's the alternative? The alternative is the status quo. And if that's unacceptable for you as a freedom lover, then get out and do something about it.
Sure. I mean, you know, you could think of a million real basic examples that we all know about. I mean, if you're married, we all know that if you don't do your part in a marriage, the team doesn't work well. You can't fix your marriage without fixing you. You know, you can't expect the schools to raise your kids. You have to do a good job at home. I mean, it's just, we know this instinctively, but for some reason, when we apply it to a broader concept, we pitch the logic out and we grab things that make no sense.
You really hit on something that I say all the time. As individuals, even those on the left, we usually make rational decisions for our own good. But when you get in these collectivist mindsets and these groups, this groupthink, and all of a sudden these stupid irrational decisions start being made, it's really a strange phenomenon of human nature. And it's why, you know, the founders were so into decentralizing the government and to having it be at the local closest level to the people. Because rationally, people are going to be pretty rational most of the time when it comes to their own lives. I mean, nobody lives like liberals say everybody should live. Nobody actually lives their life like that. I mean, it's insane.
Including the liberals.
It doesn't make any sense. Even the liberals don't do it.
No.
Yet they pass these, you know, these mandates on to everybody else, and it's just, you know, this madness. And they think, oh, that doesn't make sense for us, but it makes sense for a bit. Well, no, it doesn't make sense for anybody, and it doesn't work, and there's 100 years of history that shows it doesn't work. You know, why do you keep pushing this? And it's an interesting quandary. But, you know, our side needs to be good at doing this. They need to be good at convincing using reason and motivating using emotion. That's what we need to be better at. We need to convince using reason and have the data out there, the empirical data, and convince using that reason. But we need to learn become better at motivating using emotion.
And I think we try to motivate using reason.
That's a great thing.
But don't you think we consistently try to motivate using reason?
Yes. We think that reason's going to, in and of itself, cause people to do the right thing. Oh, really? You don't really want Jerry Brown back for a second time. Nobody would ever do that. I mean, who in their right mind would vote for that? Well, a lot of people thought that was a good idea. Why? Because you can't just use reason all the time. There has to be a motivating factor as well. And emotion is a great motivating, you know, factor. I don't know why Republicans don't spend more time on it. You know, the big thing for me is the education. I am a huge education reform advocate. I was taught in the public school system. I went through both the public and private school system. I've both homeschooled my children as well as had them in the, they can now go to a private Christian school. I view it as a form of child abuse to send your kids to the current government, what I call the government school industrial complex. That is madness.
Very
now, if
good.
You do that, you need to really examine what it is, you know, you're putting your kids into. And so that's a big passion for me. Now, I can use emotion to motivate people all day long using that, and I can do it in very moral terms. How moral is it to send your kids into a classroom in which they'll be in a particular class for 90 minutes, at which time a bell will ring, and they will be like little guinea pigs sent to the next room and put in a classroom for 90 minutes until another bell rings, and they're sent, ordered to go to another room, in which has nothing to do with the product they just left, with the classroom they just left, with the studies they just left, and do that 7 times a day, and do that for 180 days a year, and somehow that's considered rational.
Yeah, but you left out my favorite part.
You know,
you left out my favorite part. The part I hated when I was teaching was the lining up. I was the lining up rule breaker. You know, every classroom I'd go to, the kids would line up. I'm like, all right, stop doing that. Your job is to go to the next place, don't touch each other, and just go there.
And, they're being good little Egyptians and finding they're being asked to find their place in the pyramid. And why not? We took it from the Prussians. Prussians are very orderly. You know, those Germans are very orderly, disciplined people. And, you know, that's where we took this system from, was from the Prussians. And, you know, if that's what we want, which is to teach people to be good little Egyptians and find their place in the pyramid, that's great. But that's ahistorical, it's un-American, and it's not what we're about, and we didn't need it for the first 150 years. So, you know, I'm off on a tangent here, but it is
not really.
It falls under the rubric of freedom and greater freedom. And you do not have greater freedom by forcing people to go to a school based on nothing more than a zip code. That is madness.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked. And it's not going to work ever, no matter how much money we pour into it. And people need to wake up to that fact. And we need to use emotion in order to motivate people to show them that that needs to change. So that's just one example.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to ruminate
on
that.
You're full of analogies, by the way. We really like it.
I like it. I'm a good visual person.
I'm in my preaching mode.
That's why you're here.
We like it. hey, so we've got a 2-minute break to gear up for the final 15 minutes here on KCNR 1460 AM. We'll be back with We the People on the home of Free Fire Media.
Something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, and antique weapons. It reduces friction, carbon buildup, and prevents rust. A true leap forward in the evolution of firearms care. AllTemp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 800-301-0046.
If you have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
I love it.
Spoken like a true ABBA fan.
I love it. We're okay. Welcome back to the really.
But they have some funny music.
They have some good. They've got some good tunes. So welcome back to We the People. We're on our last 15 minutes here, and before we get back to Eric, I'm always reading in the breaks, and here's a little article today from the New York Times. Sales of green household products fall as consumers cut spending. As recession gripped the country, the consumer's love affair with green products faded like a bad infatuation.
Oh, I guess
imagine that. I never saw that one coming.
Gosh, I guess the big feel-good falls prey to it costs extra, and it really, dare I say it on the air, it doesn't do anything.
Ooh.
Could we make smartness be green? Eric, you got any solutions for that?
You know, the best way to get green is to allow technology and freedom to proliferate. And, this planet, there's a great book out there by Bjorn Lomborg called The Skeptical Environmentalist, and it talks about how, in fact, the world's gotten cleaner and better with regards to things like pollution and what have you with the advent of technology and the spread of freedom and, you know, places like China who experimented with, socialism and communism for 50 years and cost 60 million of their people dead, and they finally realized, you know, this ain't working out too well, so we're going to try and pretend we're still communists, and we're going to go really be capitalists now. And, you know, they brought 400 million people out of poverty, and they're bringing 2 million out a day. And, you know, and what's happening? What's resulting? Well, you know, in many ways, the world is getting cleaner because of the proliferation of technologies, which can find ways to deal with the pollution that greater economic growth brings. So, you know, there's an alternative. There's the authoritarian state in which we have a 100-year history of showing what that results in. And we have, you know, freedom and capitalism and free markets and free minds and people making decision what's best for themselves and doing so at the local level. And, you know, I know what side I fall on. I don't need the government telling me what kind of light bulb I can use and what kind I can't. I would like it to kill the bad guys, and which it does very effectively. Ironically, that's one thing the founders said it should do. And all this other stuff, I wish that it would just simply, as Grover Norquist says with Americans for Tax Reform, just leave us alone. Just leave us the hell alone. And it would be a nice, change.
Well, it's kind of, I don't know if you can appreciate the irony on our side, but the first part of the program, we can hear your kids in the background, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they sounded like they were having a good time.
Real life.
It's really funny. We come back from the commercial, and now we have little birds chirping in the background.
Yeah, I'm out by the pool right now in 80-degree, beautiful Del Mar, California.
Nice.
Dad is taking a few moments for dad time while the kids are in the pool, and I am... again, it's great. It's a choice I've made. I've chosen to drive in my 15-mile-an-hour Yukon Denali to drive 500 miles down from Grass Valley to San Diego to sit by a pool on a coastal resort. You know, it's a choice I made. No government bureaucrat in their right mind in 100 million years could have ever thought this was what I was going to do, because they are not clairvoyant. They are not omnipotent. We the people are, and it's a choice I've made, and I love my Yukon Denali. It's big, it's powerful, it's roomy, and best of all, it's safe for my three little beautiful babies.
That's right.
And I am not going to be forced into a 40-mile-per-gallon Trabant that, they will need to do a blood sample out of to determine who I was when I get in a wreck. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, every time I take my little nieces around in my SUV and they say, oh, Auntie, we love your car. I'm like, yeah, and I'm keeping it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
great.
We had choices too, and yet the more time you spend on the road, the more you realize, you know, you see like these little smart cars, and I'm thinking, that looks really safe for my driveway.
And they're the first ones that want to borrow your truck when they go to Costco.
You know, we should allow everyone to have the choices. You live with the choices they make, and that's the choice they want to make. That's super. I just, you know, God forbid you run into the front end of my car because they'll, you know, have to scrape your DNA off the front of it to determine who you were, and it's just not something I as an individual choose to have. But that's it. That's the point. It's choices. It's why the Chevy Volt has sold less than 1,000 cars since its rollout, despite having, you know, $50,000 in government guarantees behind it, and why my SUV, you know, sells more than every hybrid combined. You know, it's just the choices we as Americans make, and it's the way it should be versus government, you know, making the choices for us. You know, Jefferson said it best. He said, when a people fears its government, there is tyranny. But when a government fears its people, there is liberty. And right now, I'm scared to hell of my government, and it should be just the opposite.
Yeah, and the people that keep voting all these folks in. I mean, we have a huge opportunity in 2012, not just nationally, but I don't know that people really actually fully appreciate how much control they can have at the local level. And by local, I even mean state. If people get out and walk some precincts and really stand by candidates that are going to do the right thing, they can beat the entrenched bad guys every single time. But for some reason, I really want to go back to what you said in the last chunk, that we need to convince using reason and we need to motivate using emotion.
And deadly combination.
It's a great combination. The problem is we keep cramming that into a one-action plan that ends with reason because we like it. I think conservatives kind of think the emotion thing is lame and weak.
And overrated.
And you've brought up, Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged and at the beginning of the program when we were wishing you would call us.
We were talking a lot about the movie.
Yeah, part of what we were, talking about, because we're going to do a showing with our assemblyman and our senator this coming Thursday of Atlas Shrugged, the movie, here, Prime Cinemas in Anderson, Thursday, May 5th at 6:40 p.m.
Very cool.
And so if you go to the front page of ReadingTeaParty.com, there's a big flyer on there. You can figure out how to get your tickets and stuff. But they've got us... they've got us with a private showing on that thing. Anybody who wants to go, pay $5.50 and you get free popcorn and get a glimpse at what Ms. Rand was looking at back in the 1950s and what she saw at that time. And, I mean, don't you just think that that book is all about... Two years ago when the Tea Party movement started, I started blogging as John Galt because I was like, man, we need John Galt more than ever and we need people to read that book and see where we're headed.
Yeah, I'm on page 700 of my reread of it because it's something that it's an important book in my collection of books and for my worldview. Look, Rand had a lot of great points on the material. She was completely wrong on the metaphysical aspects of life, but that's cool. Mm-hmm. I don't need her to tell me what I believe and what I don't believe when it comes to an afterlife and the spiritual. That's fine. What she was saying was the individual reigns supreme. And as far as this country's concerned, our founders agreed. She escaped an authoritarian gulag known as the Soviet Union, and so she got a taste of it firsthand, and she was really preaching, you know, something that was heartfelt to her. Now, her book is great in that it's a great allegory about what can be, but in reality, we don't need, you know, an allegory because we're living what is, and, you know, people like to think, oh, it's not that bad yet. Really? It's really not that bad? George Bush signed a law into place that told us what kind of light bulbs we can use. When you've got a government that's down that far into the weeds, when it's telling you what you can and can't use when it comes to lighting your home, and that we need to start relying on fossil fuels that were nothing, or on energy that's nothing more than 2,000-year-old energy, instead of this newer energy like natural gas and atomic energy and fossil fuels. You know, it's funny, isn't it? The people that are really the Luddites are the ones that are telling us we need to go back to 2,000-year-old technology, but the people that are somehow behind the times are the ones that are relying on the current the real technology, the newer stuff, which is our side. I find that ironic all the time. But, you know, Rand really got a glimpse, and she provided it because she lived it firsthand. But, you know, we're not far removed from it now, and her book's always a timely reminder of just how, you know, a timely reminder of just what the true arc of history is, which is greater government, less freedom, and only but for men standing up and saying, enough, no, I won't do it, I won't go along with it. And our founders were unique in that regard, because most of human history was just the opposite. I will go along. I will get on my knees and live instead of standing on my feet and, you know, possibly dying. You know, it's just a very difficult thing to get yourself involved to the point where you've made your life uncomfortable. I've done it. You know, it's been very uncomfortable for my family and I in many regards. When I was on a school board in which the union spent $1 million trying to take us out to my current job now, it's not fun all the time. It's not enjoyable. I understand the temptation to just get along because you want to just go along. But, you know, you guys are clearly birds of a different feather in that regard, and your members are, and I think that's great. And, you know, all we can do is try and, you know, we owe it to the people that gave us what we have. You know, this wasn't a guarantee. This wasn't something that was predestined. This is something that a bunch of guys and girls said, you know, this isn't working, and we're going to take on the mightiest army on earth in order to change it. Can't we do something that's just a little less grand in our daily lives? I think we can. I think we owe it to them.
Yeah, take a little time from softball and Dancing with the Stars and lend a hand. And sometimes people think, well, I've got to do everything. Ooh, we're in our last minute. But it just takes a little bit and pushing back locally and weighing in locally. And requiring common sense just isn't that hard to do. You don't have to be a political expert to figure that out.
Eric, we want to thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sure we'll touch base again, but this time we're going to start calling you at like 6 in the morning.
Everyone lives this one down. I apologize again.
It's okay. We like
hey,
to
we're nothing.
We like to
we're nothing if we're not fun.
Yeah. Hey, so thanks a lot, and you have a great time with the family, and we will see everybody
thanks,
next
Eric.
Week for Mother's Day. Thanks, Eric, and we'll let you know
Take
how our
lady.
Charter city turns out. You're listening to We the People on KCNR 1460 AM. The home of Free Fire Media.
That's what this country was founded on.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.